Hello there, my name is Yemisi and you're listening to Tech Empowered, a podcast brought to you by Tech for Dev. Tech Empowered is about the story of how technology is changing the lives of young people in Africa and across the world. These are real stories from real people who have all been tech empowered.
We are continuing our special series of this year's theme, Accelerate Action, Driving Gender Equity. This means pushing for greater digital inclusion, economic empowerment, and more opportunities for women in the digital space. Last time, we explored what it truly means to take action toward digital inclusion, but today we're going a step further. We're talking about how women can own their space in the digital era. With the rise of technology, opportunities have never been more abundant, but are women really taking up space? What challenges still exist? And more importantly, how can women confidently claim their place in this digital world? So to help us break this down, we have a special guest, Joan Anuolua, Women Texas alumna from the class of 2023. She's a behavioral scientist, AI strategist, coach, and entrepreneur, passionate about helping people gain the right perspective and lead a purpose-driven life. So if you are listening on your commute, or you're in a break, or you're just winding down, stay with us because this is the conversation we all need to be a part of. So grab a cup of tea or your favorite drink, just settle in and let's get into it. Hello, Joan. Welcome to Tech Empowered.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. Okay, so before we dive into the conversation, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, the work you do, and your journey into the digital space?
Okay, my name is Joan Anuolua Ologundudu. I'm into the family life space, but let's say what I do is to leverage technology and innovation for people in family life. So that's what I do. And my journey into the digital space started in 2020, the COVID year, right? So I started learning about technology, started taking courses. My first course was on digital marketing. Then I had a Google scholarship and then the Women Techstars Fellowship with Tech for Dev. So it's been a beautiful journey.
Awesome. Thank you so much for that brief introduction. Okay, so this year's theme for International Women's Day is Accelerate Action. From your perspective, what does this mean for digital inclusion and economic empowerment?
Okay, so accelerating action for digital inclusion and economic empowerment will be creating and executing policies. So emphasis on creating and executing policies, because I was a part of a roundtable organized by the industry of women, something like that, you know, where stakeholders in women-owned businesses, nonprofits, they came together just talking about policies. And there were so many fantastic and amazing policies. In fact, I got to present. We spoke about a lot of things, but I realized that they've been having meetings that, but the issue is with execution. People come up with fantastic ideas, but what is the execution? What are companies doing, right? So I think that is the major thing that is affecting the acceleration of action. But I think that what people can also do, for example, being a participant of that kind of a program in my own nonprofit and my own startup, because I actually have a nonprofit, to ensure that everyone can access opportunities. So I've heard of companies where the policies where they have 70-30% ratio. In other words, they have 70% of male employees and maybe 30% of female employees, probably because of the need to mother children. That is when people get pregnant and they have to take maternity leave. This is why a lot of companies tend to downsize the number of female employees they have. But that is not a very good decision, because research has actually shown that involving women in the economic development of a country can multiply the overall economic output of a country. So the GDP can actually increase when we have more women who are working, who are actively involved in entrepreneurship and doing all of these things. So at the grassroots level, companies that are owned by women should ensure that they also bringing women, they involve women. If the woman is skilled, she has the certification, she can deliver, why should she dilute just because of agenda? So for me, this is a major one.
Thank you so much for that, John. Okay, so in your experience, what are some of the biggest challenges you think that's preventing women from fully leveraging digital opportunities?
That's a very good question. So I think the first one is self-limiting beliefs, self-sabotage. Yeah. A lot of women grew up in, well, let me bring a little bit of the family life practice. You know, the average girl was not affirmed by a family. The father was probably not there. You know, if you go online and you check videos, you see very few people talk about celebrating their dads. Very few people. I've seen scenarios who celebrate their dad, but there's always a lot of love on the mothers. But psychologically, there is a role the father has to play in the life of a girl child. And when that is missing, most of these girls struggle with self insecurity. You know, they don't have that sort of identity that they should have because they didn't have a father figure who was speaking the right things to their life, that girl, you can do this, you're beautiful, you're amazing. And then some of us grew up in schools. I have that experience where your teachers are literally insulting you. You know, they call you
Olodo.
Olodo, Olodo, Jalomoje. Let me translate that in English. Meaning that you can only eat eyes of fish. And you know, we have this thing in Nigeria where they say if you eat the eyes of a fish, you will. People like that are not brilliant. They don't know anything. So I was particularly scared of eating the eyes of a fish. For years, I did not eat it until I stayed with one of my aunts. And she has a husband that is very brilliant. And he eats it. And I'm like, this man eats the eyes of fish.
To affect you.
And he's brilliant. But can you see that if not because of that experience I had, that was a self-limiting belief because some was passed around. There were seeds that were sown, you know, while I was in school. And I'm not the only one who has experienced this. Someone here might even, maybe even you can relate. So, but the average person can relate with what I have just shared. And so naturally, there's a tendency to second guess yourself. Anytime you're about to start something, you'll be like, is it my type in this kind of place? Can I really do it? Do I have the capacity? I'm not sure they need people like me. In my family, nobody has achieved something like this. You know, those are self-limiting beliefs. And if a person is already carrying that kind of embargo, if you now find yourself in an environment that is not nurturing, it gets worse. Because imagine having a self-limiting belief and then you have a friend, you have a sibling who encourages that, come on, girl, you can do it. Give it a try. Even this Women Textiles Fellowship, do you know there are people I've literally had to encourage to apply because they're like, is it my type? They would, you know, admit. I'm like, no, give it at least, even try, make an attempt, right? So I have experienced that personally. So not even having an environment where you're encouraged, you have people who believe in you more than you even believe in yourself. These are major, major things that can actually hinder a woman from utilizing kind of opportunity and even especially digital opportunities because you don't even know the people you're interfacing with. It's a different thing when you even know the person and you can summon up courage to talk to them, but these are digital organizations that you may probably never even visit their office. For example, I've never been to the office of Tech for Dev. So, but having a nurturing environment, can really help. It can really, really help. Having the right voices that can speak over you and encourage you that you can do this. Maybe they've tried more and it didn't work out. Just having someone that can tell you that, girl, you can do this, just give it a try. It doesn't bite. It's better you actually try and it doesn't work out than not trying at all, right?
Yeah, like I relate so much with what you just said because a lot of times, even personally, I see probably maybe an application or something online and I'm like, I don't have the capabilities to do this thing, or I don't think I'm good enough to do this thing. And then you just keep saying it to yourself, and then you just realize that you never move from where you are, right? So it's better to actually try than not try at all. So what's the, again, I think we also need to just ask ourselves, like, what's the worst that can happen? Nobody will beat you. Put yourself out there and try to, you know, get opportunities for yourself. So yeah, thank you so much for sharing that. So to women who like often juggle multiple roles, like career, family, trying to develop them personally, do you think it's possible to balance it all, or should women just focus on one?
That's actually a very, very good question as well. So I heard from someone, I cannot remember the person, but there was maybe a conference I went to, and the person said that there's nothing as work-life balance. And I agree with the person, but let me explain what the person is saying. Okay, you've heard that too, exactly.
Yeah, I can't remember where, but yes, I've heard that.
You see, so she said that it's not possible to be able to balance everything in your life at a particular time. That what actually works is understanding what you need to place your priority on per time. So let me give an example of myself. So when the Women Techstars Fellowship opportunity came, because when I love something, I can go all out. If I have to do something, I give it all it takes. I forget every other. Like, I remember the very first, because the classes starts by 10 and then ends around 1 to 2 thereabouts. So we had our classes and they give us an assignment to create an animated donut. And I remember that I was on the Mac laptop till past 11. Like, if I had to stand up from my seat, maybe to just use the toilet and come back. My husband made breakfast, dinner, and all, and served me on the table while I was working. Now, I gave it my all because that was my first day. I wanted to plug in into the system well. I was so interested and passionate about what it was that we're doing. So my priority at that time was to focus on this opportunity I had with Women Techstars Fellowship. But if a family member is having their birthday, I also abandon my phone because I know that, oh, birthday, this is a special day. I'm going to spend the entire day with this loved one. And that is how it works. So when I started my startup, Family Life Tech, it was the same. Many times I'll be on my laptop, I'm doing research, I'm working on the back end, I'm doing gathering data, just putting everything together. At that time, I'm not really cooking. We just buy stuff, maybe half parfait, or like everybody understands. So the important thing is to identify what your priorities are per season and give it your without neglecting the other aspects of your life, because that is also important. It's not that you now focus on one thing, no, and then the other areas of your life will now be suffering perpetually, no. But you just need to understand that, okay, this thing needs more of my time, it needs more of my attention, so I need to give it more of my time and attention and give the other ones a lesser time. Not because you don't value that other aspect of your life, it just happens that at this season of your life, there is more demand on you in a particular area than another one. So that for me.
Thank you so much. I mean, like, you put it so beautifully. Like, life is in seasons, right? Life is in phases. So at different points in time, there are things that, you know, should take priority, or there are things that demand more attention, and learning how to actually, you know, split and balance that, so know that, okay, at this point in time, my kids, probably they are at a young age, they will need more of my time and attention, and then you know that you have to prioritize that. And then when that phase passes, you know, there's another phase of your life where, you know, you have to prioritize a particular thing, and then, you know, you give priority to that. I mean, that's like, you put it so beautifully. Thank you so much for sharing that. Okay, so many women hesitate to step into the digital space, you know, due to imposter syndrome or societal expectations, like you said earlier, right? How can they overcome these barriers?
So let me share my own journey, because for me, I looked like a confused person. I was looking like a confused person because, number one, I read sociology in school. Initially, wow. I wanted to become an actress. So my intention was, yes, I wanted to become an actress. Yes, so I went to, I had the highest score, you know, for the post-shoot EME. However, I did not have literature. So on that basis, I was not given theater art. I cried, because I was paying, it looked like all my plans are scattered, because I was going to do PFT. That time, no Super Story, you know, Super Story was popular. So I was going to go to their film and Mount Zion, put the two together and be a major actress. So when that happened, they offered me sociology. I did not even know what sociology was. I'm like, what kind, which course is this one again? So I called my mom. I said, this is what is happening. And my mom was like, oh, take sociology. It's a good course. So I did. Then I had a master's in sociology as well. So my life did not look like what I'm doing now. But my thesis was on family life, because I've always been passionate about family life. That's because growing up, there were lots of dysfunctional families around me. There was even a time I made up my mind that I would not even get married, because there was no good example of a good marriage. But I've been passionate about solving problems in that area, because when people are in relationships, they come to me, I advise them. In fact, was it last year, 2022, someone from school, my university days, reconnected with him, because I used to advise him back then. Right, and he reconnected me again that I should counsel him. So there's something there for me. But then I also love tech. So when 2020 came, I love what I was seeing with tech, and I was gaining certification, I was gaining knowledge, and even the things I was studying, they were not congruent. My first course was on digital marketing, the next one UX design, the next one so. For the average person, I was looking like a confused person. But then I remember that when we're doing, was it the orientation? I can't remember if it was the orientation for Women Techstars Fellowship. I remember a particular lady sharing her experience of how in a previous fellowship or maybe a scholarship she got, she did machine learning. But now with Tech for Dev, she was doing mobile development. And she talked about the fact that because she was to learn two different fields at the same time, it enriched her skill. And so she's able to even offer more value to her workplace because she has knowledge in both machine learning. I can't remember the details, but they were just two different fields. And I was encouraged by what she shared, because I'm like, even me too, I also look like a confused person in quotes. But guess what? When Women Techstars Fellowship was, I was thinking about how I can, you know, synchronize all of these things, and just how do I also manage my love for family life? And everything was like that. But what I did not stop doing was I did not stop learning. I did not allow the fact that I was looking confused to people to stop me from taking or leveraging the opportunities that come my way. And eventually an idea came. I realized that there was fintech, there was agri-tech, there was ed tech, but there was no family life tech. And I pioneered that. So if I did not spread myself thin, if I was limiting myself because of people's perception, maybe I would not, you know, have created the solution that I have now created now. So for anyone who is experiencing societal, you know, stuff like that, my advice for you is put the big picture ahead of you. Don't allow, try. It's not easy, but just try to choose what you want to do over people's opinion. And I know that can be difficult. So what I can say is, if you can afford a coach, get a coach. But if you cannot afford a coach, join the right communities where you can have access to stories that can inspire you and strengthen your conviction, because it helps. Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing, John. So my next question would
be just something in line with that. Like, so from your experience, right, from your journey, what key skills do you think women need to succeed in today's digital world?
So I think the key skill that every woman needs is to actually, first of all, believe in themselves. I know I've spoken about that, but if you don't even believe you can do something, you will not do it. So it's so important that that one is dealt with, because it's an internal force that can actually influence what happens externally in the person's life. The second thing is to actually leverage opportunities. So when you see opportunities, don't talk yourself out of it. Make the most of it. When a lady sees an opportunity, don't feel like, oh, is it for me? Is it not for me? Just give it a try, right? Then the fourth thing is, make the most of communities. It is so, so important. For example, these women textiles fellow now, the alumni community, I remember that an opportunity was shared for a speaking engagement, and I applied to be one of these, and I got in, and I really enjoyed myself. I had a great time, you know, at that particular program. So what if I did not even join the community? I'm like, oh, Shebi, I've done Women Textiles Fellowship, I'm done. Why do I have to join the community again? I would have missed out on that opportunity. So I want to encourage women, join communities, be part of whatever they are doing, and leverage opportunities that come your way. This is very, very important. And then have a big picture for yourself, because if you have a big picture, you won't have a why. Why as in W-H-Y, that will be guiding the reason why you do what you do. Because you need to have a strong why, so much so that your convictions are strong about it. Because if your why is not strong, people can easily talk you out of what you're supposed to do. But when your why is strong and your convictions are strong, you can easily filter out wrong criticism. Because people will always criticize, people will always have an opinion, people will always want to, you know, cast their own opinions or their own fears or their own beliefs on you. But you need to have the right filter to know what to take and what not to take. Because sometimes the criticisms you get can actually be stepping stones for bigger things. However, if it is not well managed, it can kill the dream that you are nurturing in your spirit, in your heart. So it's very, very important that you keep your big picture ahead of you. You have a strong why, and you have a strong conviction for whatever it is that you're doing. This is so, so important. Yeah. These are the things I would recommend.
Thank you so much. I mean, a strong conviction will help you find your balance, or will help you keep your balance when things around you seem uncertain. That's like a very profound take away from that. Thank you so much. Okay, so moving away from that, there's an ongoing debate about AI, right? So some fear that it will replace jobs, some people see it as an opportunity. What's your take on this?
Okay, so research has shown that over 90 million jobs, I cannot remember, but it's a known company that does forecast, they do stuff like that. So this particular company, you know, they did the research that in a few years, I think 2030, I'm not certain, but I do know that 90 million jobs will be replaced by AI. But over 110 million jobs will be created because of AI. So the issue now is, are you leveraging AI for your career? So because a lot of people are just seeing the development, the innovation happening around them, and they are just allowing it to pass by. You know, there's something I used to listen to from someone I respect very much. His name is Nye, but there are three categories of people. People who watch things happening, people who clap for those making things happening, and people who are the ones making things happening. So a lot of people just sit down. Yes, they make things happen rather. So a lot of people just sit down and just allow things happen around them. Don't do that. So for every career, for every pathway that you want to go into, there is a way you can leverage AI for your career right now. So the question is, are people learning? Are people giving themselves over to, you know, continuous learning, you know, increasing their knowledge with AI, especially with regards to their career path. So everyone can actually leverage AI to make their work better. So rather than maybe being fearful, I think the right posture should be, how can I use AI for what I currently do? And then there was something he was saying, the person was talking about evolution, how a particular set of persons went into extinction because they refused to evolve. So this is the time, yes, to actually evolve so that I don't go out of extinction. So instead of staying, whether we like it or not, AI is here. And it has come to be, right? So instead of fighting it, the better posture is to ask yourself and then execute, you know, ask yourself, how can I leverage AI for what I currently do? That was what I did. So when I started out with Family Life Tech, the first created was elmav.co, a web app where you can find professionals. But then AI came, and I'm like, okay, how can we also leverage AI? Because AI is here to stay. And then we started creating AI chatbots, AI dual. So for example, now I can promise.ai. I can create joan.ai, meaning that when the person chats with promise.ai, promise.ai will talk as if Promise is the one speaking. When the person chats with joan.ai, joan.ai will speak like the real Joan herself. So that's an AI dual. So I know the popular thing that people think AI chatbot is for is just for customer service. No, we went beyond to actually create personalized AI. So for coaches, for counselors, for companies, etc. So that is how I was able to leverage it. So for you now, or anybody that is listening, you might want to ask yourself, how can I leverage AI? That is so important so that you don't go out of extinction. What's that one? You know, the idea is evolve, right? Just evolve, because
you have to keep evolving. So how can you leverage AI? If you're listening, don't see it as a threat to maybe replacing you or taking over your job. See it as an opportunity to learn something different, as an opportunity to grow, right? So how can you leverage
if I may add, if you find out that AI is about to replace your job, what you can actually do is to also now learn about emerging careers that AI is bringing. So let me give an example. For virtual assistants now, to a large extent, AI is replacing the role of virtual assistants. So if a person, you've built your brand around being a virtual assistant, how about you actually learn about how to build AI agents? Because AI agents are replacing virtual assistants. So if you find out that the new innovations in AI is outrightly replacing your work, what you now need to do is to do a research on an equivalent of that your work in AI. So I just give an example of a person who used to be a virtual assistant. You built your brand around being a virtual assistant. What you can now do is to now learn about how to build AI agents and incorporate it so that you don't lose out completely. So this is an example, and it applies in other ways, because from what from the research that company did, over 110 million more jobs will be created. So you can just find any one of those that you fall into.
Awesome. Thank you so much, John. So my last question would be, so if you could leave women listening with one key takeaway about owning their space in the digital era, what would it be?
Very, very good question. For me, it would be to be solution-driven rather than profit-driven. In the small things that I've done in my life, I realized that a lot of persons are only in for themselves. And I realized that people with that kind of mentality don't go far. The best kind of perspective or paradigm that should guide how a person leads their life should be to be a problem solver. So I know that making profit is important. I mean, we all have economic needs, isn't it? But if you position yourself to always look for problems to solve, you will always be ahead of your needs. you will always be ahead of your colleagues. You will always be at the cutting edge of innovation because you're actually looking for solutions. Psychologically, whatever you're looking for, you will find it. So if you set out your mind to go to a conference and you're like, anyone that wears red, I'm going to talk to them. Guess what? When you get to that conference, you will actually see people that are wearing red, because prior to getting to that conference, you made your mind that you are going to look out for people that are wearing red. So in the same vein, when a person sets out to be a solution provider, you're a solution-driven person, you will be looking out for problems to solve. And because that is what you have in your mind, you will eventually find problems to solve. And when you have this mindset and you eventually solve problems, profit will come, because profit comes from offering value. How do you offer value? Solving problems. So if you cannot solve a problem, you will not have value to offer. There will be no profit that will come to you. So that's just the mathematical equation. So I want to advise every woman out there, beyond what your needs are, rather than just wanting to look for how to take from people, how to get from people. You meet a senior colleague in an industry, or you are lucky to meet somebody you've been looking up to. The first thing you should be looking out for is not what to take from them, but what you can offer them. So if you go for a conference, you go for an event, and you meet someone you look up to, don't tell them about your CV or tell them you are looking for a job first. Instead, maybe do a research about them. What are they doing? Then, how can you offer value? So if a person is organizing a conference, when you now meet this person, you can tell the person, I from LinkedIn, for example, I saw that, you are organizing XSS conference, I'd like to volunteer. You will stand out, because the average person, when they see celebrities or these big people in code, they're always looking for what to take from people. But if your own approach when you meet people is to offer yourself as a solution solver, you will stand out, meaning that when they now truly have an opportunity, you will be the first person they will remember, because you are positioning yourself as a person that can solve problems. So, but a lot of people, you know, when they meet people in code, they're always asking and asking and asking, and big people are always on the end of being asked for one thing or the other. So, but when you don't come as a person that wants to ask or take, and you come as a person that wants to offer value, and please let it be genuine, you know, not manipulative, because that is important. Because if your goal is to be manipulative, the truth will come out, because nobody can pretend forever, right? So make sure that you are genuinely, yes, interested, and the solution you are trying to offer is an area that is easy for you. Don't go and offer a solution in an area that will be stressing you. The truth will come out. So offer solutions, or offer to be a problem solver in an area that you are naturally gifted or naturally skilled, so that when you are doing it for this person, it's not a pain in your neck, right? So because I've seen people who have tried to use this principle, but they are now trying to offer a solution that is stressing them. So at the end of the day, they don't achieve their goal, because the person is trying to reach out to you, you are now being cranky, right? Or you are having a certain expectation, yes, and the person is not meeting it, you know, and you are now giving attitude. So at the end of the day, it is counterproductive. So it's important that whatever solution we say we want to offer these people in quotes that we look up to, it's from a genuine place. So just be solution driven. I've seen people who got jobs simply by messaging people that, I'd like to volunteer to be your social media person, even if you don't pay me, I just want to do it for you. And the person is so impressed and be like, thank you so much, but guess what, I will even pay you, resume work next week. I mean, there's so many stories of experiences like that, of people who reached out to organizations to work for them for free, and they eventually got a paying job. So just be solution driven more than you are profit driven, and your life is going to skyrocket. You make relationships. Even if that person does not offer you a job, they may offer you relationships, valuable relationships. You might get access to communities, tickets to VIP events. Just the benefits may not even be what you may think initially, but at the end of the day, whatever you sow, you will reap. So when you solve problem for other people, it will come back to you in one way or the other. Yeah, so I think I'll just end it there.
Thank you so much, John. Thank you for sharing your insights and knowledge with us. Thank you for joining us on Tech Empowered.
Thank you so much.
It was wonderful having this conversation with you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And that brings us to the end of this episode of Tech Empowered. I mean, if there's one thing to this conversation reminds us, it's that owning your space in the digital era isn't just about being present. It's about being intentional, strategic, and bold. You know, be solution-driven. Be a problem solver. We've heard about the challenges, but we've also heard about the opportunities. And as you said, the digital world is filled with possibilities for those who are ready to step up and take them. So if you're wondering whether you have what it takes, let this be your reminder. You do. You have everything it takes. And as we continue to celebrate International Women's Month, let's just have conversations. Let's also take action. So whether you're a woman coming into the digital economy, or you're a business leader creating opportunities, or a mentor, your role matters. Thank you so much for listening to Tech Empowered, a podcast brought to you by Tech for Dev. So if you found this conversation valuable, don't forget to subscribe, share, and join us next time for more insightful discussions on technology, empowerment, and real stories of transformation. So let's keep pushing forward. Let's keep accelerating action. See you next time. I remain your host, Yemisi, and bye for now.